Morning. It's good to see you today. Thank you for being here. I am not Pastor Stephen, as Alex has explained to you. He is off preaching a camp meeting in North Georgia. So I've seen on Facebook some comments about what an incredible job he's doing, and we trust the Lord will bless him tonight and tomorrow night as he speaks. But this morning, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 19. And as we get there, I just want to say this, I want to reiterate what an incredible week we have had at Vacation Bible School. And if you have helped in any way, I just want you to understand the value of what you've done. Some of you served in the kitchen, you walked kids around, or you did different things and maybe didn't end up back here on Thursday night. But I'm going to tell you, Thursday night, Miss Kim gave an altar call about some things, and there were kids in the altar weeping as they sought the face of God. And I'm going to tell you, that's what it's all about. When it comes down to it, when you have, you see a young man or a young lady have a real encounter with the God of the universe, that's really what it's all about. All the stage decor, all the hard work and the preparation is for that exact moment. And can I tell you, I believe that God did some incredible works. And here's the awesome thing tonight, for the first time, we've never done this, but after our commencement in here, we're going to move outside. And as of this moment, we've got 7 kids who are going to get baptized tonight on the outside. And a little, you may say, well, what are we going to baptize them in? Well, we're going to baptize them some way, shape, or form. We think we have a little fire retention thing that the firemen use or the fire trucks use when they're at the fire department will use. We've done that at youth camp before, so that's what we're planning on. If not, we got some water slides coming. We'll get at the end of that. It doesn't matter to us. We're going to take care of that tonight, but we're excited about that. So if you have never been baptized, or if you know if your child's been talking about it and they're interested, it's not too late to let us know, and we can do that tonight. But we're excited about what God is doing here, and thank you for being here. As you're turning there to 1 Kings 19, I just want to start off with a story. A few years ago, I was headed home from church one Sunday afternoon, and it was me and Ben, and we had turned off of Skaga Lake Road on Breezy Hill Drive up there, and Breezy Hill Road, and as I turned onto the road, at the end, I could see blue lights flashing. So I immediately thought, slow down. Anybody else get that thought when you see blue lights when you're driving? Let me just hit the brake here. So I hit the brake. I mean, I didn't feel like I was going fast. I turned and I was going, and I could tell he had somebody pulled over because he wasn't moving. Well, as I'm progressing down the road, he turns his lights off, and I see him turn around and head my way. I'm talking about within just 30 seconds of passing me, he turns his lights back on, he turns around. I'm like, what's going on? So I turn, and sure enough, he pulls me over. I don't know how excited you are when that happens. Ben was nervous, thought I might be going to jail or something, I don't know. So anyway, I come up and I get a ticket. I'm not sure there's many things in life that make me angrier than a ticket, because you're just throwing money away. You do realize that, right? Anyway. So, two months pass, I can't remember, but my court date comes up, and so just as everybody, I go into the courtroom, and as soon as I walk in, this is what I hear. Oh my goodness, they done got the preacher! Now, let me tell you, there was a lot of folks from Graniteville up there that day. And the going rate was $82.50. If you had $82.50 cash, they cut your ticket in half. You could walk out. Anyway, what I remember is that in that moment, I was thinking, what am I doing here? You ever had that thought? What am I doing here? You've probably never had situations like that. But sometimes we ask ourselves that question in life, right? What am I doing here? Better yet, have you ever been asked that question by somebody else? What are you doing here? Well, imagine God asking you that question. What are you doing here? Because in 1 Kings 19, that's exactly what we find in the life of Elijah. Now, I'm going to read to you just a little bit of this here. And the thing about it, we're going to just kind of progress through this story. But in 1 Kings 19, God asked Elijah that not once, but twice. What are you doing here? Let's read, starting in verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came, and he sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's." And then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Oreb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we're asking you to let your presence be real in this place. I believe this is your word for your people. God, I know in my inadequacies I can't communicate like I need to, so I ask you to move me aside. And I pray that we would hear your voice and your heart this morning as you speak to us. God, I pray you would change us in Jesus' name. Amen. What are you doing here? Now, what we find here is that Elijah is on the run. He's running for his life. But before we get to 1 Kings 19, we got to understand what's happened in some of the previous chapters. In chapter 17 of 1 Kings, you read that God has spoken through Elijah to King Ahab and told him, "Listen, there's not going to be any rain." And it's really for an God didn't give a certain time, but this is what the Bible says, that there wasn't rain or dew or anything. You know how sometimes mornings you wake up and there's dew all on the ground? Just imagine for years, and it ends up being 3 years, that there's nothing. God has spoken through Elijah, and you're the one who goes tells the king that, and God has used you mightily. Well, that's what happens in 1 Kings 17. And then in 1 Kings 18, God begins to move and he says, "Go tell Ahab rain's coming. It's been 3 years, but go tell him it rain's coming." And then he says, as a matter of fact, "Get all the prophets of Baal together, because it's time that the people decide who's the real God, who is who they say they are." And so we know the story very well. He challenges 450 prophets of Baal and they come together on top of the mountain, and the prophets of Baal, he says, "I'll let you go first." And they build a sacrifice, and they dance and hoop and holler and cut themselves and scream. And for most of the day, Elijah's over there making fun of them. "Hey, he might be sleeping. Why don't you yell a little bit louder? Maybe you can wake him up." And all this goes on, and after a while, Elijah says, "Okay, it's my turn. It's about the time when you make the sacrifice in the day." And he says, "All right, I want you to build an altar." So he puts rocks and wood and he sacrifices animal. And he says, "All right, I want you to fill it with water." And he pours it. And the Bible says he pours 12 jars of pots of water until water was standing in the bottom. You could just see the water. And then he says about a 65, 66 word prayer. And the Bible says that fire comes down and it doesn't just burn up the sacrifice, but it burns the wet wood, all the stones, dries up all the water, and everything is gone. And then he turns and he says, "Let's take care of the prophets," and they kill the prophets of Baal. So you've got to understand what's going on before we get to 1 Kings 19. That's some pretty impressive stuff, wouldn't you agree? that God has used him to not let rain come for 3 years. Now God has shown his power again as he takes care of the prophets of Baal. Oh, and I forgot to tell you at the end of that, Elijah sends his servant and he goes back 7 times. And finally his servants come back and says, listen, all I can see is a little cloud the size of a man's hand. And he says, well, go tell Ahab it's about to pour. And sure enough, Bible says that it pours down rain. So what we see is that in the life of Elijah, we've got a man who has seen and been used by God over and over powerfully. And now we come to 1 Kings 19. And he gets the words from Jezebel that she's going to kill him. Now look, she must have been a mean woman. Because I just told you what God has done in his life. And he lets these words of a woman scare him so bad that he doesn't just run a day's journey. He goes 40-something days, 40-plus days. Because we know he went a day and then he fell asleep. And we don't know exactly if it's 1 day or 2 days. And then it says that on the cakes that the Lord fed him, he went 40 days. She was mean, boy, I tell you. Scared him to death. So much so that he finds himself in a cave. All alone. Hiding. Scared for his life. And when we get to verse 9 here, God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And listen to Elijah's response. In verse 10 it says, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the children of Israel have now forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. And now they seek to take my life. You see, Elijah is in this moment where he gets caught up in everything he sees going on around him and he forgets who he's serving. He forgot what God has done just right here in his presence. I mean, if I've seen God send down a fire to burn up wet wood and a sacrifice and the stones that it was laying on, I would feel like I would feel confident enough that he could take care of this woman. But not Elijah. So much so that he doesn't just leave. It says that he gets to Beersheba and he leaves his servant there. He's like, I'm done with this. I'm gone. I'm going to tell you, there have been times in people's lives, and maybe times in your lives, when it seems like things wasn't going as good as you wanted to, and you said, I'm done with this. I'm throwing my hands up. Some of you this morning, honestly, you've probably been on the run from God for a while. That's where Elijah is. He's scared for his life. He's on the run. He said, I'm done. I've done all these things, and now this is the thanks I get. This is what I'm repaid with, a woman who says she's going to take my life. God, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. So he's on the run. And as we get here in 1 Kings 19, when God comes and asks him, what are you doing here? And Elijah responds, then God says, well, listen, I want you to step outside. The Lord is about to pass by. And so we know this story well. First of all, an earthquake comes. The Bible says that, first of all, a strong wind comes. The Bible says that the wind's strong enough that it tears the rocks to pieces. So we're talking about a strong wind. But the Bible says that God himself is not in the wind. And then an earthquake comes and it shakes the mountain. But God is not in the earthquake. And then the Bible says there's a great fire that comes. But God is not in the fire. How many times have we been in the middle of something and we've been looking for God and we're looking for Him and all these big things and we can't find Him? Let me tell you, in the middle of chaos, in the middle of all these things going on, sometimes the hard part is the focus on God when He's not in that, when we can't see Him, when we can't hear Him. See, the Bible says that in all those things, God wasn't there, but all of a sudden, there was a still small voice that came to speak to Elijah. The Bible says that Elijah wrapped his face, and for the second time, God said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And Elijah gave him the same response. "I've been zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Have you ever been in the middle of things where it seemed like you were all by yourself? All alone. That's where Elijah is. The enemy has gotten in his mind that nobody cares about him. I mean, think about it. He says, "All the children of Israel have forsaken you, God. Nobody else is trusting you. Nobody else is trying to live for you, God. I'm trying to do this all by myself." Maybe where you work at, you feel the same way. Man, there's nobody trying to serve God here. Nobody's trying to do this thing the right way. Maybe sometimes in your home you feel like, "Man, where's the folks? Where's my spouse? I thought we're trying to do this together, but they're not trying to serve God." Sometimes we feel alone, like nobody else is with us. But then this is what happens. God responds, and this is what He says. God says, "Go, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nishma, as king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." I want you to understand this morning, as you live life and as you face things, you're not alone. God sees you. God knows who you are. God sees exactly what battle you're facing. He understands this morning that there are things that you're dealing with that even if you feel all by yourself, that if you'll turn to Him and trust Him, He can build you up. Now, as I was thinking and really praying about this morning about what to do, I really was thinking about VBS all week. And I was drawn to this story because we find Elijah in a cave, and that's what we've been looking at all week long. Caves. And I began to think about the words that were taught to our kids all week. See, it's more than just nice animals they see and nice decor. There are certain things that they were taught this week that I felt like God wanted to show us a couple things this morning. You see, this week our kids were taught that God gives us hope. God gives us courage. That God can give us direction and that He loves us. And as I thought about that, I wanted to show you in this story those four words, but I'm going to do it in reverse order because I believe it's important that you see first and foremost that God loves you this morning. Now, how do we see that God loved Elijah? I began to just look at this thing now. We know that God had blessed Elijah and used him mightily in the course of his life. I already told you some of the stories. He was the prophet. But I was drawn to the moment when Elijah gets to the broom tree. And in that moment, the Bible says that he laid down and sleep. He slept, but the angel of the Lord came and woke him up because he knew he needed to be fed. Not once, but twice. And think about what he said at the end of as he woke him up the second time. He said, "Listen, you need to eat because the journey is too great for you." Can I tell you this morning, there's some folks in here that God's tapping on your shoulder and He said, "Look, you've been trying to do this on your own, but the journey's too great for you and I love you, and if you'll just let me feed you, if you'll just let me be with you, I will show you that you don't have to do this by yourself." Now I began to think about it too, because obviously Elijah was running. And it just caught me as interesting, and this is what I began to think. How many times does God love us when we was running from Him? And in the midst of running, He provided some form of protection that we may not even understand that He was in our corner in that moment. If we were to take a survey this morning, and I was to ask some of you, before you gave your heart to Christ, how many times that you could have been dead, but the grace of God saved you? See, there are times when God reaches down, even when we're running from Him, and He shows us He loves us, and when we don't even recognize it. His hand of protection comes down and watches over us. Now, I don't understand everything that God does. I don't claim to. I'm glad that He's God and I'm not. But I can tell you this. This morning, God loves you. He loves you. And He loved Elijah enough that He gave him strength for his journey. But then I also think about this. When he got to the cave, I think about the still small voice that he spoke in. I don't know about you, but as a dad, I've had moments when I've not done as well as I should have. And I love my kids, but there's been times when they've done something that I wasn't real pleased with, that I didn't speak in a still small voice. And I got to think that God is asking Elijah the question, what are you doing here? Because he's remembering how he's used Elijah. But we see this picture painted where he doesn't yell, he doesn't jump up and down, he doesn't say, I can't believe you. He doesn't berate him. He says, what are you doing here? In a still small voice. Why? Because he loves him. Do you see the love of God in that? What are you doing here? You see, God loves us. And there are moments when He uses that still small voice just to whisper to us, what are you doing here? I love you. This is not my plan for you. This is not where I want you. God loves us this morning. The second word was direction. Now think about it. When Elijah has responded, Lord, I'm here because there's nobody else. I'm here because they're trying to take my life. God said, well, listen, I've got something for you to do. And this is what you need to go back to where you came from. See, God was giving him direction. Can I tell you this morning? You may be here and you may be in the midst of a lost time where you're just wandering aimlessly. If you will stop and allow God to speak to you, can I tell you, He will give you direction this morning. He will give you direction in your life of where you need to go and what you need to be doing. Because He loves you. Everything that He does is out of His love for you. So He will point you in the right direction. He will give you direction. He will show you where to go. That's exactly what He does with Elijah. He tells him to go. And He gives him some very specific instructions, doesn't He? I need you to anoint this guy, and I want you to anoint this guy. Oh, by the way, there's a prophet who's coming after you. I want you to go see him, and I want you to anoint him as well. Not only does He give him direction, but He gives him great purpose. Can I tell you, if you're wondering what your purpose in life is, if you'll stop and ask God, He'll give you purpose this morning. But then, Elijah, remember, he's running for his life because he's scared. He's needing courage. And so what does God do? God says, now, Elijah, I know you're scared for your life, but here you got to understand what's about to happen. Haziel, he's about to take care of some of your enemies. And the ones that he don't take care of, don't worry, because Jehu's got his back. And if both of them miss him, don't worry. Elijah is going to take care of it. You can rest assured today that you don't have to live in fear. Because God has got this. He's already got things lined up that maybe you can't even see. Maybe you don't even understand what's going on or how He's going to do things. But God, He's not having to hide in a cave. He's not afraid of what tomorrow holds because He's already there. He's already seen tomorrow. He can give you courage this morning to face what you need. Then the last word was hope. Now think about it for a moment. In Elijah's life, it looked bleak. The word had been sent down that this woman was going to kill him. In his mind, he said, all of Israel has forsaken you, God. They've torn down your altars. They're no longer worshiping you. Lord, they don't even focus on you. Matter of fact, they've forsaken you so bad, they want to kill me as the prophet of God. But that last verse, how beautiful is it? God said, look, I know how bad it looks to you, but what you don't understand is I've reserved 7,000 who've not bowed their knee. This morning, you look around, it looks pretty bleak. In our modern day, I've told you this before, I believe. I had a friend of mine who, one point years ago, we talked about several things, and he used to listen a lot to talk radio and read the news and all that. And he's like, man, I can't, it's depressing me. I can't. I said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. What you got to do is stop listening to all that junk and nonsense. You need to put some praise and worship music on when you're riding down the road, not talk radio. You need to change what you let come in because all this negative stuff, can I tell you, if you just let the world feed it, they'll just add fuel to the fire. I'm not a big reader of the news. I probably am not as up to date on current events as I should be. You know why? Because some of that stuff is just, it's too depressing. It is. Because when it comes down to it, my hope is not in a newspaper or what somebody's reporting. My hope is in the Word of God. And so Elijah, he needed to have his hope restored. And so God came and said, look, I just want you to understand, I've got a group of 7,000 who have not bowed their knee. Can I tell you this morning, there's some folks, and it may look bleak to you, but God has got folks all around the world who have not bowed. We're not by ourselves this morning in Graniteville. There's people all over the world who have not bowed, who are still, they still put their hope in Christ just like we do. So we don't have to be hopeless this morning because there's a remnant. God's going to always have His people. We get to be a part of that. We get to be the ones who tomorrow morning when we walk into work, we get to let our light shine and take the hope of Christ into the world. So Elijah, he was built up because there's a hope. Because above all, God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. This morning, you may be asking yourself in your own life, what am I doing here? This may have never been your plan to end up right here. Can I tell you? God is here this morning. If you're not where you want to be, if your life has not ended up like you wanted it to, if there's things going wrong and you can't figure out how to get out of this spiral, can I tell you this morning? God loves you. God wants to give you direction. God wants to give you courage. And God wants to give you hope. He knows you by name today. He knows what cave you're trying to hide in, what you've been trying to run from. He knows everything about your life. But if you'll put your trust and your hope in Him today, He can change everything. Can we stand together?